I'd like to invite Sheikh Muhammad Ali Shamali to continue with his series of lectures on globe before and after the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Dr. Shamali, just to remind you, is a graduate of the Islamic Seminary of Qum, and he has got a doctorate in philosophy from the University of Manchester. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Assalamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته إن شاء الله. Reviewing my notes today, I realized that I missed one hadith in the section that we had about communication in the time of Imam Zaman. So I should first read that hadith and then, inshallah, continue with our discussion. You remember I told there are some hadiths which say that a mu'min in the west can see his brother in the east and vice versa. There is a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Again, this is in the book of Al-Ghaybah by Sheikh Nu'mani, one of important sources on the issue of Imam Zaman. Hadith is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. إِذَا قَامَ الْقَائِمْ بعث في أقاليم الأرض في كل إقليم رجلا. When Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes, he sends to every land, maybe it means every region or every city, every region you can say, a man, a person. So he sends a person to every place. يقول أهدك في كفك. Imam says, what you are supposed to do is in your hand, in your palm. إذا ورد عليك أمر. If something happens to you and you don't know what to do, look at your palm. There you find your answer. Is it a computer in the hand, or it's a means of communication that then they can easily find the answer from the headquarter? So they easily find out what should they do in that situation. This is some hadith that I thought I must mention. Okay, referring to the moral, cultural, and religious situation, we already talked about some aspects of it, like the fact that many disagreements and debate rise. There would be many fitna. To remain loyal and faithful is very difficult. And at the same time, there are believers who are very strong in their faith. We talked about these issues. One of the things that we should talk about is about women in Akhir al-Zaman. Before Imam Zaman alayhi salam comes, there would be women who are very pious and very committed and very prepared. And you know, among close friends and associates of Imam Zaman, there are some women. But the general situation of women in Akhir al-Zaman, apart from mu'minin or mu'minat, is not good. The same about men, but also about women, this is mentioned in hadith. There are many hadiths. One hadith is from Amirul Mu'minin, alayhi salam. يَزْهَرُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ وَاقْتِرَابِ السَّاعَةِ. Imam Ali says, in Akhirat Zaman and near the resurrection, وَهُوَ شَرُّ الْأَزْمِنَةِ, that would be the worst time, the worst age. يَزْهَر, appear, arise. نِسْوَةٌ, women who are كَاشِفَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ, women who are bare, or naked. They have all kind of adornments, and they go out of religion, out of faith. They enter into any fitna, and they quickly jump towards shahawat, lower desires. And what is made haram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they consider it as allowed and permissible. And these women would be in Jahannam forever. In some hadith, which is mentioned by Sunnis also, for example in Sahih Muslim, there is an expression which says, Kasiyatun Ariyat. There are women who have dress, but they are still naked, or they are still bare. This means that their dress is not a dress that brings protection, brings hijab. Some people have dress, but their dress is just, say that we have something on, but this dress is not a dress of modesty. We have another hadith. It says, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تظهر ثياب تلبسها نساء كاسيات عاريات. The day of resurrection will not come unless there would be some dress that some women wear, and this dress does not cover them. This is something that is already, unfortunately, happening. Another thing is from Imam Ali, but quoting from the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring to something more general than issue of dress. It's issue of haya, because dress is a sign of modesty and haya. The Prophet said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يذهب الحياء من الصبيان والنساء. The day of judgment will not come unless or before some women or women, great number of women and children lose their haya. You know haya is a kind of modesty, a kind of respect that they should have for values, especially about sexual relation and this kind of things. And unfortunately we see that this is the result of, this secular material culture. You see that how even children, in a very young age, they become involved in, sexual relations and everything, awful. Another hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كيف بكم إذا فسد النساءكم وفسق شبانكم ولم تأمروا بالمعروف ولم تنهوا عن المنكر. What will be your situation? This is the Prophet saying the Ummah. So it's not only about, it's maybe happening to Muslims. And again, we see this. What will happen to you? What will be your situation when your women become corrupt and your youths do not observe Sharia, and you keep silent, you don't enjoin the good and prohibit the bad? فَقِيلَ لَهُ وَيَكُونُ ذَلَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Some of the companions of the Prophet said, is it possible that our women lose their modesty, our youths become, fasiq, sinful, and we don't say anything? The Prophet said, yes, even worse than that will come. كيف بكم إذا أمرتم بالمنكر ونهيتم عن المعروف. When you yourself enjoin the bad and prohibit the good.
Qila ya Rasulullah wa yakunu dhalik. He said, is this possible? We even had difficulty in finding the first one possible, but you say, even this may happen, that we ourselves enjoin the bad and prohibit the good. And the Prophet said, na'am wa sharrun min dhalik. Even something worse that is possible to happen. كَيْفَ إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الْمَعْرُوفُ مُنْكَرًا وَالْمُنْكَرُ مُعْرَفًا مَعْرُوفًا. And that is when you find good as bad. Not only you enjoin the bad, you lose your understanding and you will have distorted understanding. So what is good, you think this is bad. What is bad, you find this is good. This is the worst case, that a person cannot understand what is good and what is bad. So, this is a warning about Akhir al-Zaman, and we must be very careful about the way that we do Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar, or don't do, and about also our family and our children. Another thing about Akhir al-Zaman is, which is related to the discussion that we had last night, is that Islam will remain. Certainly, Islam will remain, and there is no point of thinking that Islam will disappear. But in many, many cases, the true Islam would be missed, and there would be misrepresentation of Islam. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time will come that nothing remained from the Quran except the print of the Quran, the impression of the Quran, the picture of the Quran. Quran is there. You can find thousands of Quran in every city, copies of the Quran. But the practice and implementation of the Quran would not be there. And وَلَا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا اسْمُهُ. And Islam will be there, but only as a name. Many people, you can understand by their names that they are Muslims. But if you don't know their names, and you look at them and, you know, live with them, you don't feel that they are Muslims. There is no effect of Islam at all on their behavior, on their morality, on their manner, on their business, on their social relations. Yes, when they say, you know, we are Muslims, or if they look Asian, or, you know, for example, Arabs, you know, you say, okay, it's very likely that these are Muslims. But a Muslim is not the one who is noticed by his name or by his color. A Muslim is the one that people, by looking at his behavior and his wisdom, must say, oh, this man must be a Muslim. Another thing about Akhir al-Zaman is that in Akhir al-Zaman, there would be some youths, which I mentioned last night in question and answer. I said I'm going to talk about a hadith about Mecca. This is the hadith. In Akhir al-Zaman, there are some youths who are very mu'min. And these are the people who respond to the call of Imam al-Zaman promptly. Very promptly. Without any delay. For example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, بين شباب الشيع على ظهور سطوحهم نيام إذا توافوا إلى صاحبهم في ليلة واحدة على غير ميعاد فيصبحون بمكة. This is beautiful hadith. It says that when the Shia youths are sleeping on the roof of their houses, so they are sleeping in the night, you know, in summer, in Middle East, in many places, you know, they sleep on the roof because it's, you know, warm. Then, when Imam Zaman comes, Imam Zaman calls them. All these youths, without having any appointment with Imam Zaman, they didn't know that Imam Zaman is coming. Ala ghayr mi'at. There is no appointment. When Imam Zaman calls them, all of them are there in Mecca next day morning. Look at the amount of preparedness that these people may have. That when in the night they hear the voice, or maybe after Fajr or whatsoever, they can so quickly get ready without, you know, saying, okay, let me sort out, you know, my things, and then inshallah next week or next month I will join Imam Zaman. No, they jump and go and meet Imam Zaman. It also shows that there must be such a facility of quick traveling and fast traveling that, you know, in a matter of few hours they can reach Mecca. Or maybe these are the youths. But hadith doesn't say these youths are in Mecca. It says they go to Mecca. So maybe it's a matter of, you know, development also in transportation, or maybe these have a special way of transportation. Anyway, these youths are the people who quickly respond. And indeed, this is something that you find in all religious movements. The youths are normally the first to respond to the prophets, to imams, to any good cause, because their heart is clean. They are not that much attached to the worldly life. They don't have that much, you know, engagement. And also they have done less sins. They have committed less sins. So the youths must appreciate this time of their life. And inshallah, they must be, inshallah, ready to join Imam Zaman. And, you know, we have many hadiths. Once I had a lecture about the role of the youths in the time of Imam Zaman on Sahar TV. So I made lots of research. And I found many hadiths which says that most of the people who help Imam Zaman are the youths. And the number of old people among them is very little. It's just like salt in food. How much salt you need in food? Doesn't say chili, because you need lots of chili. But says salt. So you need a little salt. Yeah? So the old people are there. And these are the taste. Without them, there is no taste. You need the elders. You need their experience. You need their presence. And this gives significance and weight. But the task is very demanding. You know, today you are here. Tomorrow you are in another part of the world. Imam Zaman is sending you for all these missions. So the youths can undertake such a great job. And the majority of the people who help Imam Zaman are the youths. And even Imam Zaman himself is appearing as a young person. But young, when we say, according to hadith, is Imam Zaman, when he appears, is young. But hadith says that means some 30 years old. He appears as someone less than 40 years old. So the youths also would easily, you know, relate to Imam Zaman, because Imam Zaman is not appearing as a person who is 100 years old or 150 years old. Imam Zaman himself appears as a young man, and most of the people who support him would be the youths. So this is about the situation about the youths. Another thing which is happening before Imam Zaman comes, and as I said, many of these things may happen long time before Imam Zaman comes. Some of them may happen just before Imam Zaman comes. It's not that all of them start at the same time. Is that people would not implement Islamic law. People would not act according to the laws of Sharia. And as we have in hadith, أُتَّلَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَحْكَامُهُ, the Quran and its rulings will be suspended. maybe inshallah we can say that we have passed this and now we are inshallah improving. Maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you could hardly see people who practice Quran. Now alhamdulillah, maybe it's better. Maybe now we are approaching the time of Imam Zaman and we are, you know, witnessing some change. But still, how much we practice the Quran and how much we implement the Quran, maybe 10%. If you are very optimistic, maybe 10%. Another thing is that social, especially family relations and ties in Akhir al-Zaman, before Imam al-Zaman comes, would be very loose, very weak. We have hadith which says that in Akhir al-Zaman, the people who are very young, or you know, like children or the youths, they don't respect the elders. رَأَيْتَ الصَّغِيرُ يَسْتَحْقِرُ بِالْكَبِيرُ. Instead of respecting the elders, they are irrespectful to them. وَرَأَيْتَ الْجَارُ يُؤْزِي جَارَهُ. A sign of Akhir al-Zaman is that neighbors annoy each other. A neighbor does not respect the right of the neighbor. There is a hadith from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein says that Faraj will not happen, the advent of Imam Zaman will not happen until you detach yourself from each other. يَبْرَعْ بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. Instead of having very close and intimate relations, you yourself start fighting each other and disassociating yourself and detaching yourself from each other. وَيَلْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. You mu'mineen will curse each other. And يَتْفُلُ بَعْضُكُمْ فِي وَجْهِ بَعْضٍ. Even some people may split in the face of other people. And then some person said, oh, Imam Hussein, so if this is the case, مَا فِي ذَلَكَ خَيْرٌ. So there is no good thing, no goodness in that time. Then Imam Hussein said, Al-khayru kulluhu fi zalik. Indeed, all goodness is in that time. And zalika yaqumu qa'imuna fayarfa'u zalika kullah. Indeed, this is the time when our qa'im will come and remove all these bad relations and brings love and reconciliation to the people. This is a very beautiful hadith. In the same respect, we have hadith from Imam Sadiq that in Akhir al-Zaman, many children would be displeasing their parents and annoying their parents. And many people would not observe family relation and, you know, Salaya Rahim. They don't connect this relation. And many people would show love in their words, but in their heart they have hatred and enmity. This is a sign of Akhir al-Zaman, a kind of hypocrisy. People smile at each other, but in their heart they don't love each other. Another sign of Akhir al-Zaman is that mosques will be adorned with gold and all expensive adornments. And there would be copies of the Quran which are very beautifully adorned. And very long minarets. And there would be rows of salat for jama'ah, which are very, very much and many and plenty, but بِقُلُوبٍ مُتَبَاقِزَ, but their hearts are not united. You see, unfortunately this is the case. Now we go to, for example, you know, Mecca and Medina. Alhamdulillah, we see hundreds of thousands or millions of people maybe once at the Salat. But how much our hearts are united? How much even we understand each other? And we love each other and help each other. Just physically we are, you know, next to each other. And as soon as Salat finishes, you know, everyone escapes. But this is not what we are supposed to be. We must be like parts of the same body, cells of the same body. So this is what the Prophet says to Salman, that in Akhir al-Zaman, Masajid will be adorned very beautifully. They will lose that simplicity that the Prophet, you know, was advising for Masajid. Quran will be very beautifully printed, very expensively printed. There would be long many rites, and sufuf and rows for salat would be multiplied, but the hearts are not loving each other and are not united. And another thing is that in Akhir al-Zaman, riba or usury will become a phenomenon which is not blamed. Riba has always been there, but something that people would not consider it as something wrong. They don't blame people if they take or give interests. Indeed, some people would say, oh, this is unavoidable, and this is the thing that we need for the economics, you know, to go on and to run. So this is a sign of Akhir al-Zaman. Another thing is that in Akhir al-Zaman, you find brothers that can be completely trusted very little, very few. أَقَلُّ This is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أَقَلُّ مَا يَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ The thing that is most difficult to find in Akhir al-Zaman. The least thing that you can find in Akhir al-Zaman is one, أَخُنْ يُوثَقُ بِهِ A brother that you can trust. Brother here means mu'min, means friend. أو درهم حلال or a dirham which is earned from halal and haram has not touched it in every aspect. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, nowadays your own way of earning is halal, but there is so much, you know, interconnections with other businesses and, you know, with money of other people and this system of, you know, banking and all these things. The money that you give to the people and then they give you back. So even if you are working hard, still you don't know whether this is really halal or not. You know, it's very difficult. Of course, from a legal point of view, if you perform your wajibat and you don't know this is haram, it's okay. But in reality, it's very difficult to make sure that this is halal. Especially in Akhir al-Zaman. Another hadith again from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يأتي على الناس زمان ليس شيء أعز من أخ أنيس وكسب درهم من حلال. The Prophet would say nothing would be more difficult in that age than finding أخ أنيس, a person, a brother that you can trust and can, with his companion, get rid of loneliness. You can really feel that you have someone who can always support you, who will never betray you, who will never leave you alone, who would be ready to be dying for you, to die for you, and earning one dirham of halal. These are the most difficult things in Akhir al-Zaman. Okay, I think I should stop here and inshallah we continue inshallah tomorrow. So if there are questions, please put forward.
Any questions from the ladies? Any from the gents? Any from the ladies again?
It's good because tonight I need more time for.
Before we go for the final, just a few announcements. Sikkim Youth Committee is inviting you to attend the showing of a production recalling the tragic events of Karbala called Karbala When Skies Weep Blood. It will be on Saturday evening at 10 o'clock after the program finishes here. This will be on the notice board as well. The other thing is about Ashura. The Shia Athanasi community of Middlesex has declared the first of Muharram was on Friday night, that is Saturday day, and therefore the Ashura day is Monday. However, the executive committee has decided instead to commemorate Ashura on Tuesday, 30th of January, so as to be united with the majority of the Shia brothers and sisters who are commemorating that day. So Ashura day is Monday, but we are commemorating on Tuesday. The program of Ashura on Tuesday will start at 10 a.m. with the Amals for the day of Ashura. This will be at 2 o'clock with food. And Shami Ghariba program will start at 5 in the evening with Maghrib and Isha prayers. More details of the program will be given later on. Also, for other programs of the Shia Athanasia Community of Middlesex, please go on to our website, sicm.org.uk. We have a lot of programs for the ladies and the youth and the men, and also mixed, in the sense that we go and have programs together. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Tonight I spoke about the youths. So I think it's good to talk about some of the youths and indeed teenagers who were martyred supporting Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In particular, inshallah, I would like to talk about two sons of the Lady Zainab and the son of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Qasim, who was in Karbala and wanted to become a martyr. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Tonight is also night of Jum'ah, so inshallah everyone, you know, should concentrate and inshallah reflect on what we say, and inshallah this tawassul would be accepted, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah to forgive our sins inshallah. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفراقك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعل الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين من علي أكبر بك مرتير Qasim, the son of Imam Hassan, was no less passionate in his supplication for the Imam's permission to die on the battlefield. To Qasim's repeated request, his uncle's reply was, "My dear child, how can I permit you to go when I know for sure that this awaits those who venture out? Your father, my beloved Hassan, had entrusted you to my care on his deathbed. My heart trembles at the very thought of sending you into the jaws of death, because Qasim was only 14 years old, and he was the son of Imam Hassan." This reply of Imam Hussein broke Qasim's heart. He thought that his uncle would never give him permission to go and fight. With tears in his eyes, he stood there, not knowing what to do to secure Imam's permission. At that moment, Zainab went to Imam Hussein. With folded hands, she said to Hussein, "My dearest brother, in my whole life, I have never asked you for anything. Now, for the first time, I am requesting you to grant me one wish. Let my sons follow in the footsteps of Ali Akbar." Hussein looked at Zainab and then at her son. With his head bent, he replied, "Zainab, my dearest sister, I find it impossible to deny your first and last request, though my granting it makes my heart sink within me." Then Imam looked at Aun and Muhammad, sons of Zainab, and told them, "My dear children, go forward and fulfill your heart's desire to die like heroes. I shall soon be joining you on your journey to eternity." This made Aun and Jafar very, Aun and Muhammad very happy. They went towards their mother Zainab and fell at their mother's feet and asked for her blessing. But what about Qasim? When Qasim saw that Aun and Muhammad had been given permission, he rushed to his mother's tent. He was very disappointed that he couldn't fight for Imam Hussein. He told his mother that Aun and Muhammad had secured Imam's permission on the intercession of their mother. But I had nobody to plead on my behalf with my uncle. Then he said, If I am not destined to become a martyr on this day, life has no charm left for me." Then the mother of Qasim thought maybe she should go and talk to Imam Hussein. As widow of his brother, maybe Imam Hussein accepts. But she was reminded of a letter given to him by Imam Hassan. A letter for Qasim and a letter for Imam Hussein. Fortunately, she had brought those letters to Karbala in a box. So said Qasim, your father has predicted this and has left a letter for you. Then Qasim quickly opened the envelope and read the letter of Imam Hassan. My child, when this letter reaches you, I will not be anymore with you. When you read it, you will find yourself torn with a conflict between your desire to do your duty and fulfill your obligations, and demonstrate your love and esteem for your uncle. And his love and affection for you compelling him to hold you back. My Qasim, I have provided for this event by arming you for a bitter letter for my dearest brother Hussein. You may deliver the letter to Hussein so that he may grant you your heart's desire. There is much that I could say for this occasion, but when you read this, you will find that time separating us is not so long. So hurry along, my child, as I am waiting for you with open arms to welcome you. So Qasim decided to go quickly and pass the letter to Imam Hussein. But what happened when he reached Imam Hussein and Abbas were looking at sons of Zainab in the battlefield? He found Imam Hussein standing outside Zainab's tent, looking towards the battlefield. Qasim knew that they were all watching Aun and Muhammad. How could he disturb his uncle at such a time? He stood quietly by the side of Hussein and Abbas and gazed in the direction of the army, who were all there to kill these two young cousins of Qasim. He could see from clouds of dust rising in the far distance that one of them had gone ahead of the other. Not so far away, he could see that the younger one, Muhammad, battling against a number of enemy soldiers. A few minutes later, they saw Aun falling from his horse and giving a cry to his uncle to come to him and carry his body. Hussein, who had already borne the afflictions of his companion's death and the loss of Ali Akbar, seemed to wince as if he had received a stab in his chest. He turned to Zainab to see the reaction of Zainab. Abbas and Qasim rushed to her side to hold her. As if this blow was not enough, Muhammad also fell from his horse, mortally wounded, and similarly shouted to Hussein to come to him. Abbas and Qasim knew that for Hussein to reach his dying nephews one after the other was too difficult. So Abbas wanted to accompany Hussein and assist him in bringing the dead brothers to the camp. But Imam Hussein said to Abbas, you should stay with the Imam. I am going myself. Inshallah, I will continue this story tomorrow. There is a poem about Qasim asking for permission. بس که میدان رفتن تو بر عمویت مشکل است، دست یابی تو بر این آرزویت مشکل است. Because it is very difficult for your uncle to leave you to go to war. This is why your uncle cannot satisfy your desire. Digar az hijran magu ay yaadgar mujtaba, bar masham jaan faraag atrubu yad mushkilas. O Qasim never talk again about separation, because from you I smell fragrance of Hassan. I cannot leave you go. Bar dilam atash mazan ay miwaye qalb Hassan. چون مرا بشنیدن این گفتگویت مشکل است. But it is also very difficult for me to say no to you and to see that you are sad. So could you please stop asking me for permission. سن تو جانا مناسب با چنین پیکار نیست، جنگ تو با لشگری در روبرویت مشکل است. You are too young to take part in this battle, and your enemy is not just one person, it's an army of enemies. سخت باشد ناسزا بشنیدن از هر ناکسی، گفتگو با دشمن بی آبرویت مشکل است. It would be very difficult to appear in front of these people who have no respect, who have no modesty, and they would insult you and swear at you. ای که واجب نیست در این سن تو صوم و صلات، تشنه لب در کربلا با خون وضویت مشکل است. Oh, the one who has not yet become baligh, so fasting and prayer is not wajib. So it is very difficult to let you go for battle and make your wuzu with your blood. بر میدان رفتن خود عشق بر دامن مریز، نور چشمم جنگ کردن با عدویت مشکل است. ای که از داغ حسن گرد یتیمی بر سرد، دیدن در خاک و خون رخسار و مویت مشکل است. You have already have dust of being an orphan on your head, so it is difficult for your uncle to see your head being again dusted and colored with your blood. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين.
يا حسين يا حسين يا حسين.